Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 3.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning. We thank you. Today is July the 7th. It's winter, summer, I don't know. Amen. But anyway, it's July the 7th, 2018, 9 a.m., and we welcome you to our broadcast today, the program today. We're going to share a little bit about the continual and ongoing conversation for this year of the character traits of a Christian man, Christian husband, Christian father. So we just want to encourage the brothers out there. Again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we want to set ourselves on a pedestal, set ourselves to think that we all have it together. The men I bring on here, we share our insights, our living, our experience, and our walk in Christ, in sanctification, and some of these things that we want to see God change in us and make us better men, better husbands, and better fathers, that we can continue to lead in our families, in the home, in the church, and in our communities. So there should be some fruit. Remember, God is not looking for, but he is looking for maturity and consistency. And these are one of the things, and these are the things that we talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Those of you who called in at 646-668-2636, I thank you for calling in this morning. If you press one on your keypad, if you'd like to join the conversation, share insight, ask a question. And also, for those who will log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, I'd like to welcome you also. You can always reach out to us. We have a Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And again, on Facebook, our Facebook page is, we invite you to come join. We post devotionals, encouraging words, upcoming men's events in the community, outreach events. So you can fellowship with us. Reach out to us there. Amen. Amen. Well, first, let me begin by we're going to bring in my brother here to join us. He's going to took time out of his schedule to join us this morning, Elder Mark Gaines from New Vision of Life Kingdom Builders. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed, sir, and yourself?
Wonderful. I'm blessed too, bro. Thank you. I thank you again for taking time out of your schedule and joining the conversation to encourage the brothers today as we talk about some of the character traits of a godly man. And also for those, you know, that are listening, I know I have some mothers and wives who listen. But these are character traits also we see it all in all of us as Christians, as people of faith, as confessed believers in Jesus Christ. You know, we all come from somewhere where none of us is perfect. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But however, in this Christian walk, there should be signs of maturity, should be signs of fruit, should be signs of change. Because even those who knew you at your worst times and your worst moments, and you confess to be a Christ, they will start to see some things in you. And sometimes we need those people around us to continue to remind us who we used to be. Because if somebody says, well, you used to do, and that's a good thing. For me, I say it all the time. If someone can do what I used to be, I don't have a problem with it. Because that means that what I'm living for God, and they see a change, so they know God is real. So now I've opened the door to share the gospel with them why I'm not what I used to be. Amen? So I encourage the brothers out there, no matter where you are in your walk and your maturity, continue to press, continue to seek out God, continue to pray, to read and study his word, and apply his word to your life, and things will definitely change for you. Because again, we are here at Christian Issues, Christian Men's Talk, are here to encourage you and to help push you forward. And also we promote the importance of men's ministry, men coming together, speaking into the lives of men to encourage men along the way, and just hold each other accountable. Because in anything else, we need to be held accountable. Just someone ask us, how are we doing? To, you know, bro, that don't make no sense what you just did. So this is what the church, this is what fellowship is about. I hate to say church, our fellowships, when we come together as believers, we are in fellowship with one another because we believe the same thing. Because we are the church. The living, breathing church is every Christian. Not the building, not the classroom, the schoolroom, the rec center, or wherever you meet. That's not the church. That building, physical building, is not the church, but the people are the church. And we come in fellowship at a building. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Well, Brother Elder, we're going to start off today with our topics, the character traits of Christian men. And the first one, we're going to jump right in. Because I don't know about you, bro, but back in the day, I could cuss, I could swear, and I could do a lot of things and use your tongue against people. But I want to talk about, as a Christian man, one of the things we should start to see change is our way we speak and talk. That we're not to swear or slander and refusing to verbally hurt others. What do you think, sir?
And when I looked at the things you sent me and discussion topics, that was the first thing I thought about was how I used to curse anyone out at the drop of a dime. It was easier to curse someone out than it was to look in their eyes. And I'm just blessed that I'm not in that place. And, you know, the word says, of course, that there's life and death in the tongue. And when you speak to someone in a mindset of hurting them, you're speaking to them in the mindset of killing their spirit, breaking them down. And that's what we have to change. Even in our conversation, you know, and the world is changing so much. I see people now that with, you know, behaviors that were taboo for the younger children to be cursing. Now there's, you know, people cursing at their parents, and the people have no respect for the elderly. They're just cursing and speaking, you know, in such a disrespectful way. But as we're called as Christians, that we should be uplifting each other, and we can't do that if everything that we say is a disrespect to the person beside us without any thought or care of how we're living and what it means to them and how it hurts them or how it affects them. We've just got to look for a different way, do something different than what the world says is the right way. And I believe truly that when we step away from that, I know for myself, I ran into a gentleman about 2-3 weeks ago. We bumped into each other in the store, and we had actually had a verbal altercation, for lack of a term, where we were cursing back and forth at each other. People ended up breaking us apart, moving us away from each other. And to this day, you know, we had forgiven each other, moved on beyond it. But when I saw his face, and then I was with my wife and realized he knew my wife and my wife's family. They used to work together years ago. It made me think in retrospect that I especially when I was out to hurt somebody, that, you know, I never knew I could have would have a even stronger relationship would have been fostered had we have just, you know, been in a place that we weren't disrespectful, that we were uplifting each other. And that's what we call the, do you see another brother? Don't try to break him down by talking at him. Talk to him and try to uplift him. Find the common ground. Find what fits so that you can, like you said, share the love of Christ. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. You're absolutely correct. And again, as men of God, we have to start to consider how we speak to each other. I'm going to give the audience a verse for this. We're talking about not to swear or slander or refuse to verbally abuse others and using our tongue to hurt someone. We'll go to James, the book of James, chapter number 1, and we'll go to verse number 26. And the Word of God says, If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. If you can't talk to some folk and encourage them, but you always can. And we say about swearing and slander, sometimes we can't be critical of people either sometimes. We are careful on how we talk to people, even when we try to criticize them. You know, if we're not speaking into their life to bring help, positive change come about, that could be slandering too, because we can hurt people with the things and words we say. They may be dead wrong. However, it's important how we approach them. And as men of God, this is where we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost and being men of prayer. Because even when you know about somebody that's doing wrong, not living right, let me clarify this. I'm talking about folk who have confessed to be Christians, confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because again, the sinner man is going to do what the sinner man do. I think that's where we get in trouble with the church. We want to hold people who don't believe to the standard of faith, which is not really fair or it's not right. If we haven't evangelized to them, shared the love of God, the things of God, and what God wants to do with them and why Jesus died for them. But that I'll leave that for later on. But however, in the body, in the church, as people who confess Christ, how we speak to each other is important. And for every man, every husband and father, how we speak to our wives, how we speak to our children, and then how we speak to other Christians around us in the midst of how we treat them. You know, even it can come all the way down to being sarcastic about stuff, you know, not, you know, saying things about when people slip up, because sometimes that's a problem too in the church. As we fellowship and we find out someone made a mistake or they backslid or did something, you know, God knows. We need to encourage them because, again, as men of God, as mature saints, we should encourage the weak among us to repent, come back, and start again. Because every day, every moment, once we repent, God is going to forgive us and give us the opportunity to move on and grow. Because, again, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for maturity and growth. And that's what we are to encourage one another. So when we slander folk, we gossip about folk, and when we get angry at folk and start, you know, ranting and raving and all the things that we do, because you are the one, every man listening knows exactly what I'm talking about and what you're capable of. But it's the Holy Spirit within us. It's obedience to the Word. It's going to change how we speak and how we respond to things, even in the midst when the things hit us personally. Because sometimes looking at people's lives and current events and things that don't really bother us, but when it hits home, how do we really respond? When our spouses buck up, when our kids buck up at us, when our employers, our job, our coworkers say something that whatever. There's every aspect of our life, and that's what it means to be a Christian man. Our Christian walk, our character, is to be a shining example of salt and light in this culture, no matter where we are, in the home, in the community, at work, on our jobs, and even to the stranger. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Elder, let me talk. Amen. But let me ask you about another one. We're going to move on, but I just want to because that how we speak to people, I think, is very important, because a lot of things can be said. And I'm going to go out the limb here with brother. So if you don't want to hang with me, you can jettison. But even pastors and elders, how do you speak to people from the pulpit? You know, one of the things of just sitting here thinking, you know, how men of God, and I mean pastors and bishops and all these and whatever, you know, they're men in leadership, and how we would I think a lot of them would stop, but they used to chastise the young brothers with their pants hanging down, and want to criticize how they look on the outside, and then not considering, you know, those are words, those are hurtful, you're going to tell a man that, well, because he looked like he ain't this, he ain't that, and pull your pants up, that's not funny or humorous, because you don't know where people come from. And if we ought to be salt and light, we don't come and criticize someone who doesn't know. Because, again, wherever their environment, their culture, or how they live in, to them, that's how they roll. But what does that have to do with the salvation of their soul? And how are we going to reach them if we're constantly criticizing and bickering? Because I know some brothers who got a matching shirt and tie, and their tie matches their socks, and their shoes match their handkerchief, and they're evil, and they're sinful, and they're dirty inside. So going by the outward appearance, the church, we have to watch that also. What do you say to that, brother?
And it's a position of judgment. You know, and it happens from the pulpit, from the congregation, from sitting next to each other, even pastors and elders and those of clergy looking at another member of the clergy, the judgment is, oh, well, you're not as strong, you're not in the place I am, or you don't have the abilities or the connection that I have. You're not at my level, for lack of a term, just because of the way a person is dressed in the pulpit. Myself, when I've had the opportunity to minister and preach, most of the time you won't find me in a three-piece suit. And I do so. I learned from one of the elders at our church, Elder Francisco West, that I attribute a lot to. He made a statement that he'll preach in plain clothes so people can see a plain message. And he shared that, and it was so simple the way he shared it, but when I got a chance to think about it, it was so complex, because he didn't want someone to look at him as though he's judging by looking down on them because they're not dressed as nice as he was. Now, the brother can get dressed up. We all can do that. But sometimes we get dressed up, and all we're doing is hiding the issues behind what we're throwing on. And I think, you know, as you said, relating to the people and not judging, when you take that judgment position, you can't connect with anybody. You can't save a soul when you're already looking over, what was the term, looking over top of their glasses or looking down their nose at you. You can't look down your nose at someone and expect that they're going to relate to you, because they're already withdrawn and defensive. And that's what we do when we're swearing and we're slandering people, when you're talking bad about them. You can't talk bad about somebody and then expect them to listen to the message that you're trying to share. They don't want to hear anything you say because there's no relation. You already destroyed the relationship or the possibility or opportunity for relationship because you already tried to break them down before encouraging them and lifting them up. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. I agree. We have to be careful, saints of God, because, again, we ought to sort of see the gospel. We're supposed to share the gospel. We're supposed to encourage one another and build relationships and build it, because we have to understand there's a lot of folk out here who are lonely. They're lonely in a crowd. They might be, so you might see them, they got a bunch of people around them, running around them, but they're really lonely. And then we come and as the body of Christ and want to tell them, you know, this and that and what you're doing and what you look like and God is not, and, you know. But even I'll share this, because I know we hear intra-Christian men talk, and I know I have some wives and mothers who listen. And even when we talk to our young sisters on how they dress, you know, it's the gospel. We have to stick with the gospel and let them mature. Because if I go back and get some of the pictures of some of these church mothers, how they used to roll, you know, we wouldn't even recognize them. So I'm going to leave that right there. But anyway, we, as body of Christ, have to be able to show love and compassion, and watch what we say about people and how we say it and how we talk to people, because we want to show them the love of God and encourage them in the things of God, that God can be able to use them. Because remember, God created us all. God created us all, and Jesus died for all of us. So just because we're at a certain place and they're at a certain place, it's the same blood that was shed for you as was shed for them. And we all been through a process. And some of us get to a process and we forget the struggles and the things we had to do to get there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today we're going to move on, brother. We're going to talk about the next one, characteristic I'm going to talk about character trait of a Christian man is endurance, having an inner strength within him, the power through the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish God's will. Because, again, as I look back over this Sometimes we need endurance for a lot of things. We think about it back when we was young. If you was in school and ran track, played basketball, football, sports, you had to work out, condition yourself so you could play the whole game, so you could run a full court for four quarters. If you ran track, you had to build up endurance to run a marathon or a sprint or whatever. But you had to exercise that thing and build it up. But for us in our spiritual lives, our inner man, is we have to learn to endure. We have to have endurance and strength, and that's through the power of God, through His Holy Spirit, so that we can accomplish His will. Because one thing I learned from the time from when God saves us to what God has planned for our life, we cannot see. You know, I look back, I got saved back in the mid-90s, and now we're in 2018, and the things I've seen God do in the lives of people around me, in my life, in my family's life, you could never see that. But if it wasn't but for God, you know, he's done some things. He saved some people. He's done miracles. He's kept some people alive. He kept a lot of things from happening to a lot of families. And then he used me to speak to a lot of folk I don't think would never, ever listen to another preacher. And that's what I like to encourage men that are listening tonight, today, that, you know, God can use you to reach someone that no one else can ever reach. There's people in your life, in your circle of influence, that are only going to hear the gospel from you and see your life change, and that, and by that, they will give their life to Christ, and you will save them from the wrath of God and the punishment and spending eternity in hell. Amen. What do you say, sir, the importance of endurance?
When it comes to endurance, sir, the first thing I would say, for so many of us, and so many times, people, the unchurched and those babes in Christ, those have, you know, have come and receive their salvation, the expectancy is that the day you receive salvation, for so many, the expectancy that they receive salvation, the day you say, you know, you recited the sinner's prayer, you receive your salvation, that all of a sudden life is going to be good, or everything's going to be perfect now. You're going to all of a sudden see, you know, the gold-paved streets, and everything is going to be perfect. You'll never see evil again. You'll never see issues. That's a total misconception, a total lie. If you think, we have to understand that there is still going to be suffering. The word says that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, which means we're still going to suffer. We're still going to endure. As Christ suffered, so shall we. As things will go through, but what we have to understand that as we've taken on that position of salvation, as we've taken on our salvation, that God is He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never puts anything on us that we can't handle. So we're created to endure. We're created as overcomers. We're created victorious. We take hold of that in our salvation. So yeah, we're going to go through some things, and you're going to have to run an even stronger race, because it's a lot easier to go with the ways of the world than to submit to what the enemy has you to do, what Satan has you to do, just to live the ways of the world, to live a sinful life. It's a hard choice to walk away from what's so easy, and the flesh makes it so easy. That's why in endurance, you just got to pray that your spirit man is built up stronger, that when you're running that race, when your spirit is being exercised, because you have to call upon God to get through, because you can't see a way of getting through. The flesh isn't going to pull you through. You have to use your spirit. Your spirit man was connected to God. That's the one thing that will push you through, that will help you see, that allows you to truly see those scriptures and those things that will tell you that God is there. God is the peace that passes all understanding. If you lean upon Him, He'll direct your path. All of those things that we hear, when we understand that we have to endure, we have to fight, we have to keep on fighting, it's going to get harder every day. Because let me give you an analogy. I hear a lot of people say somebody's always holding them down. I hear a lot of young black men say that, quote unquote, the white man is holding me down, or such and such, society is holding me from getting someplace. If you're committed to society, society doesn't have an interest in holding you anyplace. The time when you move away and do different than what society has, then that's when things get harder. The same thing happens in your spirit, in your Christian walk. When you commit to God, the enemy is going to attack even more, because he wants to stop you from committing to what God has for you and receiving what God has for you. So it's a harder walk. But endurance, to keep pressing on, to call upon the Holy Spirit to speak to you with revelation so that you hear discernment, that God is talking into you, that God is empowering you, and that he is giving you that power, that strength to move mountains with over the, even that's just that minute mustard seed, mustard grain of faith. That's the push. That's the endurance that is laid upon you when you commit to God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. And again, these are the things that we talk about here at Issue Clarity. I wanted to be able to, so we're talking plain to the brothers so you can understand that, you know, God is, that all of it, your strength, your power, it comes from God. You're not leaning on yourself, your flesh. You're not trying to get better and be better. You are submitting and surrendering yourself to God and through his word and understanding and applying his word to your life. When we talk about endurance, it's that inner strength. That comes from you're securing your faith, you secure the promises of God, and you're securing what God's word says. I want to go to Galatians right now. Galatians chapter number 6, at verse number 9. It's Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 9. The word says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that's that for my brothers out there. That when we talk about faint and don't get weary in well-doing, being a husband, being a father, being a friend, being someone that, you know, you share Christ with someone, you keeping up with them, you helping them through, you're making disciples, because that's what we're called to do. You know, brother, you mentioned about the prayer of, the sinner's prayer and prayer of salvation, but then after that, what comes next? And that's what we got to be careful also as the body of Christ, as followers of Christ. Even if we share the gospel with someone, are we keeping up with them, helping them to grow, coming alongside and discipling them, sharing scriptures, word of encouragement, giving them something where they can get deeper into the word? Because that's what we have to do. Because again, if we look at ourselves, how long did it take us? Let me say this for my Christian folk out there listening: from the time you took the sinner's prayer, where however you did it, if that was how you came to Christ in the church, you came down the aisle, somebody prayed the sinner's prayer with you, God, and accepted God in your life, and you did that. Now, how long did it take for you from reading the Word of God to understand the Word of God? How long did it take for you to start to live like God wants you to live, to understand how God wants you to be, what kind of man, what kind of woman he wants you to be, to start to drop off some of your old bad habits? That was a process. So we have to remember that was there someone who came along and stayed with you and walked you through that thing? You know, I compare it to if someone has surgery or gets sick or something, and you got to go to physical therapy to learn how to walk and talk or use your arm or whatever it is. For my mothers and wives out there, after you had your children, how long it had to be before you could get up and be around, you know, get recovering from that? And I use that because I know most mothers and women have that in common. They understand it's a process. Even though now the hospital puts you out after a day and a half, but hey, I don't know. That's insurance. But anyway, no, it takes a while to get back on your feet to be able to carry yourself. And we have to see the same thing in spiritual realm. And what are we doing as Christian men? Who are we mentoring? Who are we discipling? Who are we encouraging along? And are we enduring in the thing? Or we want instant this? Even in our lives, I bring the example of debt. You know, the folk out here got 5, 6 credit cards. They're working 3 and 5 jobs, trying to get out of debt. Got a bunch of debt, and then getting out of debt. That's you got to endure to get out of debt, to try and get your financial situation together. And you know, it's a lot of things that we could say as examples for enduring. But basically, it's just not giving up, no matter what it looks like. I encourage you. As a man of God, as my brother will contest to, sometimes you have to pray, trust God, and you just keep moving forward. And things will start to happen and fall in line. Because you remember, how long did it take you to live a life of sin? It may take that long for God to change some things in your life. Because again, I everyone who knows me knows my testimony. I didn't come to faith until I was in my mid-30s, 36, somewhere around there, 1996. So, you know, I did 35 years of doing the thing out there was right and doing how I was doing and doing whatever. And I was good with it. So not going to lie, I was good with it, because those who are in sin and don't know, they're happy with their lives. But once you come to the knowledge of Christ, It's going to take some time for you to start thinking and seeing the world different and seeing people different. But you can't give up because even when you, and I said what the brother said, once you get saved, your life is not going to change. You're just a Christian still living in the life that you have. And there's going to be consequences of the choices you made previously. But with God, you can endure and start to change the direction and pattern of your life. And the things around you will change, no matter who you are and what you've been through. Amen? So, bro, what do you say?
Amen.
I want to wrap that up, but I just want to, if you had something else with it, because it's important that we endure. We don't give up. You know, and I say that to anyone who's listening. And because also this is coming up on, we're on Suicide Awareness Month. This is the even when we talk about suicide. That's people whose lives, they just gave up on their life and they can't see no change and they give up. And I say to you today, never give up, never give up, never give up, and stand. And put some people in your life that's going to help you move forward. Because if you keep people around you who's going to continue to pull you down and not lift you up and encourage you, that's helping to destroy you and remove, because that makes you want to give up. But we are called to endure as the body of Christ. And we have the word, we have the church, we have the community of believers. Put some people in your circle. It's going to help push you through. But then you have to be honest with folk so people know what you're going through, so they can pray for you. They can help you. They can come alongside with you. They can hold you, hug you, whatever they need to do, that you don't give up. What do you say, bro?
Yeah, man. And I would say for the men, and, you know, of course, acknowledging, yes, all the ladies that are listening, and this even applies to everyone, but, you know, when we look at how we exercise ourselves, you, Deacon Far, you just made a prolific statement when you talked about how, you know, we live our life for a long period of time, and sometimes that time that we've lived, that wrong life, sometimes it takes God that time to change us around. For myself, I know I'm still learning and changing and growing to where God would have me to be, leaving where I was. But I'm going to put it in plain terms, a way someone helped me to understand it. When you look at exercising and we look at the things that we do, when you're exercising a group of muscles, when you start off and you work and you walk into that gym, or you start off, you walk into that weight room and you're ready to start lifting those weights to change your whole ethic, to change the way you work things, the thing, the way you did. If for your whole life, all you did was eat wrong. Now today you decide, I want to eat right and get my body in shape. Now today in comparison, you lived a life of sin. And now you decide, I want to leave this life behind. I want to see what God has for me. I want to start living right. That first day, you're not going to see a total change. When you go into that gym, you're not going to see muscles pop off your body that have never been used before. People walk in and they're disappointed because their prayer doesn't sound as strong as the person that's been praying for 30 years. But you don't realize that person that you're standing next to, same thing in the gym. That person has been working out for years to get that body that you look at like, oh, I want to look like them. I want to have the pecs and I want to have the biceps. I want to be able to throw weights in the air, you know, lift the heavy weights like they're doing. But they've been doing it for a while. They've endured and had to change and do something different than what they used to do. Same thing with our salvation. We have to continue to keep on exercising that salvation, that faith. We have to pray. We have to push. And we get a better relationship, a stronger position of prayer, a better understanding when we engross ourselves in the word. And just like in the gym, you got to have an accountability partner. It's hard to work out by yourself, especially just getting started, because you don't even know all the exercises that's going to help you to build the muscles you're trying to build. Same thing with your faith. You don't know the scriptures to turn to. You may not understand some of the things that are being said. I know me, when the King James Bible was put in front of my face, all I saw was thou, thus, and this. I didn't understand a word. But when someone helped me to understand a little bit, then my desire was to get deeper in the word and understand more. So then what was seemingly so confusing and didn't relate to me, I realized how much it really told me exactly what I needed for every aspect of my life. But that takes growth. But I had to endure because I still had to live life the way I still had to live the same life, just like you said, Deacon Farr. I still lived the same life. I still was in the same situations. But now I have an understanding of how to deal with them differently. I don't deal with them the way the world showed me. I deal with them the way God is speaking into me to deal with them. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Elder Mark Gaines from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, and we're talking about the character traits of a Christian man. As husbands and fathers and sons, that God can use us. There's some things God wants to change in us, wants to make our character known to people, and wants to grow us into a better man so we can be a better husband and a better father and a godly man and a godly father and godly husband. So we thank you for joining us this week. Amen. So we're continuing. We have a couple more we want to touch on today. We're talking about being fearless. Sometimes we have to lose our fear. We have sometimes, especially being a husband and father, you know, because, again, being a husband, okay, we plan the wedding, we go to the wedding, we go to the honeymoon, we come back home, and now we're a husband. Now, what you going to do for the next 55 years is being a husband, because there's no real instruction book, there ain't no guidelines, and besides, we don't read instructions anyway on how to put stuff together. We just look at it and then make it look like that. Being a father, you know, all the brothers out there, remember the first time you seen your first child born, first time you seen him in the hospital, first time you held him, you didn't know what you was doing. You had good hopes, good plans, whatever. And then now, as they grow, as you grow, as life goes on, we pray, but we stepped into that thing without fear. And we stepped into the thing of marriage without fear. We was all happy at the wedding and everything else. But then are we fearless to face down the perils that come? Let me say this. Can we face down the perils without being stupid, making stupid choices, stupid decisions out of our emotions? Having a sound mind, being able to boldly use the thing that God has put in us to be strengthened, that we are fearless of the future, we're fearless of the challenges. We're going to sit, we're going to think, we're going to pray, we're going to work through obstacles, we're not going to run away. Because again, if we look at the world today and our culture, we look at fatherlessness, we look at broken marriages, we look at whatever. You know, it's because people were afraid to change. You know, they were afraid to change. They were afraid to do something different, to try something different. They were fearful to seek help. You know, pride will keep you in a place. That pride is really, being prideful is a form of fear, because you afraid to show yourself weak, to ask someone to help you get through. So as men, as husbands and fathers, this is something we have to deal with us, because we have to deal with it in our children as they grow older. But the husbands, our wives are looking for us. They're looking for us for stability, to be rooted, to be grounded, looking for us wisdom, guidance. You know, they're looking for us as men. The women and children are looking for us to be men. And part of being a man is sometimes I got to step into some stuff that I'm not know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to do the best I can. And for the Christian man, we're going to do the best we can, and we're looking for God through the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, and looking for the solution in His Word. Because, again, that Bible that you carry around, the nice pretty one with the red letters on it or whatever Bible you got, the Word, the answer for anything you're going through or going to go through is there. If you stay in the Word, start to study the Word, as life comes at you, you'll find an answer. But are you willing to obey it, and are you willing to apply it to your life? What do you say, brother, about being fearless and facing things?
I would, for myself, there's a particular scripture that speaks to me, and it's, of course, the reference scripture that you shared with being fearless is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But a scripture that speaks to me is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says that, you know, we should lean not upon our own understanding, and trust in the ways of God, and He will make the path straight. See, I used to believe that being fearless meant I can just run into any situation and I'll deal with it when I get there. And a lot of men, we think like that. We don't have a plan, and you know, Deacon Farr, I have to say a very big thanks to you for our conversation even just a few days ago about, you know, issues I was dealing with. Where I was just trying to get my wife to understand some things, and I had to realize that as a man, we'll make decisions and then try to deal with the repercussions of the decision later. That's fearless, but sometimes we're not thinking it through. We're running into the situation like, well, I'm not worried about what's going to happen. But then sometimes we're doing so, making stupid decisions. See, what a godly man will do is he is fearless in the face of peril, in the face of situations. He'll step forth and take the lead and move forward to guide his family through it. But he still knows that leaning upon God for that strength to take him through. So there's going to be times where you can't just decide for yourself. You got to consult God. You really got to pray. You really got to ask God, what do I do here? And that's why you have to have a life full of prayer. Because if you haven't ever prayed before and you're in the midst of the situation and then you start praying and then you're looking for an answer, you don't even know how to hear God. You don't even know how to listen for God because you haven't done so yet. We try to go into everything and just jump into it, rush into it and say, oh, God, well, God's going to fix it later. No, God will show you how to go through it if you consult him, if you're obedient. That's what I think for me, the fearless in the face of peril means I know I can face any situation with God strengthening me. But it's dependent that I, but the major factor, the precedent is that I'm dependent upon God in all that I do. I'm dependent that he will guide me as long as I stay obedient and as long as I follow his word. We all going to fall short. Don't, as once again, as we always say to the brothers out there, to everyone listening, we haven't got it all right. We're trying our best to apply everything God has for us and stand as people that, you know, as an example, we're changing and learning every day. And Deacon Farr, I know, you know, for men, we want to be the ones that says, fearless, I can face down the bullet. I'll face down the gun in my family's face. Yes, you'll face down that situation. But when you depend upon God, you have a sound structure to follow. Sometimes those decisions that we make, thinking we're facing down a bullet, we're running closer to the gun. We're forcing the trigger to be squeezed because we're doing it the wrong way, because we're in that macho place where we think we'll just get it right. Well, everything is going to be right, or if it's not right, we'll just fix it later. Be fearless, but do so with a sound judgment, a sound mindset, and that comes from depending on the strength of God within you. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., discussing the issues and topics and things that affect men's lives, the issues that we walk around with. You know, I just want to pray that, you know, every brother out there, no matter what you're going through right now, you know, you've been listening to the program for a while, we're touching on that, but I did want to just take opportunity to reach out and say, listen, whatever's going on in your life right now, the burdens, the stresses, the things you got to deal with, you know, it's the weekend, but you know you got to go back to that job on Monday and something happened last week, or you're not even sure what they're going to do with the job, that you're upset with the job, whatever. Life's not going right. You could argue with your wife last week. Your kids could have did something crazy last week. But I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Ask God for direction, for wisdom, for guidance. Ask him for the endurance. Ask him to give you strength to be able to stand. Ask him to sometimes even in our lives as men, we have to pray, God, let me not say nothing. Because I can't think of anything to say. I don't have a response. You know, I've learned for myself, sometimes you have to just be quiet and just see what God's going to do. Because you can't answer and respond to everything. That's what we have to be able to do. Stay out of our emotions in response to things. Sometimes just find a quiet place. Or even if someone is, you know, I know that wives and children, they look to you for answers. Sometimes you have to say, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do right now, this moment. Because you're waiting for God to speak into your life to give an answer. Because, again, we never know what God is doing behind the scenes. God could be working something out that you don't even know. But sometimes we have to stay out of his way. Because even when we try to love people and encourage and help them, God's going to do something and something else in their life that we don't even know that he's working on that's going to be effective. But sometimes if we don't know what to do, we have to say we just don't know what to do. I know that, and let me say this for our church folk out there, we have to be careful, because if we tell people, I need to pray about it, you have to actually go to God about it. Because he may use you for the answer, but not in that moment. It could be a week, days later, hours later, because everybody's not built to be a first responder. Let me just put it like that. You can consider that. Everybody's not built to be a first responder. Some people are built to come along after. But we have to have the wisdom. Amen. We're going to move on to one more of our character traits that we're going to talk about today. It's about being flexible, being flexibility, being open to other plans and ideas, and willing to be instructed and challenged to change for the better. Okay, this is a husband issue right here. I'll leave it right there. This is a husband issue, because God put our wives in our lives for a reason. We go all the way back to Genesis, and I'm not going to do the study here, but if you don't doubt that God, first of all, the woman that you married and the woman you got now, God knew exactly who she was when y'all got married. So it can't be all of a sudden she's not really changed, or she's not that woman. But you have to consider what's going on in the relationship, that, you know, wherever it's at, what happened. Something happened. You didn't take notice. Some things slipped. But again, I say, you know, God has put women, wives in our lives for a reason, and we have to be able to hear and listen. And being flexible, that comes back. Because I always start at the home when we do issue scripture and stuff. But it starts in the home. Is your wife, your partner, your helpmate, and she's there to come alongside you. God has put her in the life of you brothers who got married. We're in the church. Don't say God gave you a wife and now 5 and 10 years down the road, all of a sudden she's not whatever, because she's not God's gift anymore. And for the brothers out there who got married and were married and in a relationship and married and they came to the body of Christ, God knew before y'all knew. God knew you before you knew him. And he put your wife in there for a reason, put your spouse there for a reason, because he knew these years was coming. He knew 2018, 2019, 2000, whatever it is. He knew those years was coming, and he knew who he needed to be put by your side to help you through. Children that you produced, you know, it's a reason. God was in control and knows it all. So I just want to encourage you about being flexible when it comes to as you lead in your home. And I'm going to come to you, Elder, and then we're going to move to the body of Christ and minister. But I just want to see if you have any comments about in the home, the importance of being flexible in your home. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Wow, that's one of my biggest subjects in ministry, talking to the men. Being married, I'm blessed, coming up on 11 years of a blissful, wonderful marriage. And I attest that because, you know, we all say we want the perfect relationship or the perfect wife. I realize I have the perfect wife, but she's imperfect, but she's perfect for me. And the Word of God says that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. There's a couple things in that we have to understand. Number one, the woman is created as the helpmeet, which means she is made suitable just for you. So the woman you're with, like you said, Deacon Father, the woman that we're with, the late, God knows a plan. When you committed to marry, there's a plan God has. And yes, sometimes we do things different. We fall into situations, you know, people get married on a whim, people do this. But as the Word also says, all things are working out for your good. That situation that you rushed into can be made into the greatest thing in your life if you're committed to living and doing it right. I feel like as men, yes, you gotta understand that your wife, her desire is to help you. Women's desire is to help men. That's how they're created. As they said, they're created as a helpmeet. That's why one rib was taken from Adam to create Eve. I say this, and fellas, roll with me. Just hear me out. We women sometimes feel like they're the ones that are incomplete. But truly, without a woman, we are the ones that are incomplete, because we're missing a part of us without the woman. So she's there to help complete us, not to change us, not to fix us, but to help complete us so that we have all the tools we need to make the right decisions. If you're missing a part of you, you can't complete your story. You can't complete everything God has for you if you're missing a part of you. That's why the word says, when he finds a wife, he's found a good thing. He's found his completing part. So now he can fulfill the plan and fulfill the story. So you got to be flexible. You have to understand that part of your life as a man, and I'm talking to the husbands, as a man, part of your life is to depend upon your wife to be a completion to your story, a completion to your legacy, a completion to everything that is you in God is completed when you have the woman beside you. And true, you're going to go through, like I said, I had a blissful marriage. There's been some ups, there's been some downs. My wife may not be the perfect person, and I'm definitely not the perfect person. But when we realize and we stay, when we put God first in our relationship, we become perfect for one another. We become the complement. She becomes that rib that I needed, and I become that comfort that she needs to hold on to. And we provide everything, and that's the flexibility, is providing and working with one another to fix the issues. Just like you said, Deacon Farr, we didn't plan on 2018 and 2019. We didn't plan on losing that job. We didn't plan on the kids getting sick. We didn't plan on the house burning down. We didn't plan on anything, any of these issues. We didn't plan on, you know, the car being stolen. We didn't plan on things. But as we depend upon God and we work with our wives, the one that God intended for us to be with, the one that God placed as our help, then we can make it through these situations. So to my brothers, don't think you got to be the one that controls the situation. You got to be the one that consults to fix the situation. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I appreciate you sharing that insight and wisdom, because it starts with husbands and wives, the family. God created marriage. God ordained marriage. Before there was anything else, God created marriage between a man and a woman to build the foundation of the human culture, the family, the structure. That's what God started with, the family. And if we look around today, these are the challenges with families. These are the challenges for people to build families, build relationships, raise children. These are challenges. There's a lot of things. And I'm not going to be naive and say that. But through the word of God, through the understanding of his word, through the body of Christ, holding each other accountable, encouraging each other, pushing each other, helping each other get through this hard times, you know, we can fix some things. And for my brothers out there, when we talk about being flexible, I want to go to my brothers now. We're almost out at the end of the program, but I do want to encourage the fathers out there who are not necessarily married to the mother of their children. You've got to be flexible on that too, and how you get the time you spend with your children, how you treat her, how you talk about her, because we talked about in the beginning about slander and how we verbally hurt people. That goes for the mother of your children, because there was at least a good 10 minutes in there y'all was getting along, so otherwise the child wouldn't be here. So I'll leave it right there. But even now, as you move forward, the relationships you build with your children, the mother of your children, work it out. Do those things. Be flexible. And I say this, and I've said it ever since I prayed about it and done men's ministry. For any brother out there with child support, whatever you're paying in child support, is not, you're not paying what it costs for you to really take care of your child. So don't say you are. Because if you're paying $250, $500, that's not even rent. So that doesn't count rent, food, clothes, co-pays. So if the judge told you had to pay $200, $500, I bet you wherever you live, that won't even cover a month's rent. So you can't complain about that. Because if you were more flexible and if you would swallow your pride, you could build a family. And how much would your rent be then? How much would it be the rent, the electric, the water, the groceries? So whatever you're paying in child support, get it together. I'll leave that right there. Whatever you're supposed to be paying in child support, get it together. Be flexible. Buy a used car. whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I'll leave it right there because I can do a whole nother hour just on that because I can't understand how you can say you're a father and you're a man and your children are going without. I mean, it's not even about going without. Are you doing the best you can do for them? It's not about giving them everything because even with married folk and couples who stay together and have kids, their kids don't get everything. But are you doing your part? And then are you doing your part to be with your child when it comes about spending time with them? That's another thing about being flexible. Are you making the time you spend with your children as important as anything else you want to go to or anything else you want to do? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, they thank those who listened in to this today. Thank you for joining us. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can see the link for this show. All of our shows are archived there. You can share the link, post the show. We appreciate it if you take and post the show on your Facebook page. Or you can go to Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You'll see the link there for the show. Share it on your page. Tell somebody about it. Share it with them. Have them listen to it. We encourage you to let them know we are live every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and then on Saturdays at 9 a.m. And we continue to talk about the issues that affect men's lives as they lead in the home, in the family, in their homes, in the church, and in the community. Brother, you can close us out. You have a closing word, and then you can close us out in prayer. And again, brother, thank you for joining me, and thank you for your insights and wisdom. And I pray all is well, and have a blessed week.
And to you as well, sir, thank you for the opportunity. And to you, the listeners, just blessings upon you. Continue to press as we continue to press and hope that you're encouraged by what we shared today. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God, and thank you, Lord God, that we have an opportunity to share in ministry, Lord God, not to build up ourselves, Lord God, but to continue to encourage one another, Lord God. For your word says that we are our brother's keeper, Lord God. We are the iron that sharpens the iron, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord God, for giving us an opportunity to share, Lord God, what you've empowered with us, Lord God, that others would be empowered. We bless you, honor you, and pray to you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Goodbye to you all. Have a blessed week. Look forward to sharing with you once again next week.
Amen. But I will find a way to lift up my hands, and I will find.